Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
All right, hey, this is Act 2 of the podcast. We're getting right back into it. If you missed Act 1, go back and listen to that thing. Otherwise, this isn't going to make any sense. Okay, see ya. So I've always made it very clear how I stand on this argument, and I somehow managed to keep people from beating me up by saying that it's not athletic. And, you know, people say, well, yeah, you get in there and you do 3 hours. Okay, it's still more based on skill. I don't care what you tell me. David says it's not athletic ability, it's a skill. Now, if you are in great shape, you could very well help yourself, but not every guy who's in great shape is a great driver. That is not a prerequisite to being a great driver. Who is that fat bastard that used to win once every 10 years? Jimmy Spencer. This fat fuck. Oh, my God. You could barely get him into the car. He was so fat. He might even be dead now. Don't forget about Dave Marcus either. Dave Marcus drove NASCAR till he was like 70 years old. So don't tell me about athletes. Chris says, when I changed tires on the ARCA pit crew, that was more athletic. Oh, big time. You know, you want to have the guy who can move fast, agile, quick out of the blocks, can carry a tire while doing it, and not get wore out. You got to have strong heart, strong lungs, great aerobic capacity, great strength, agile, all those things. I'm going to guess that anybody who knows anything about auto racing is going to be pretty impressed with the fact that I pulled both Dave Marcus and Jimmy Spencer in one discussion. And Jimmy and Junior Johnson. Alan Martinson says Dick Trickle used to smoke heaters while he was racing. That's athletic, brother. He did? Like he'd reach into the pack and then light up the square while he's driving. I need to see this. Hold on. Dick Trickle smoking while racing.
Who is having a cigarette.
Okay, hang on. That was weird.
Fred. You know, he has a cigarette lighter in the car. He just reached for it.
Reminds us of the days of David Pearson. He used to do that all the time.
Bad habits are very hard to break.
They sure are.
Driving a race car. So Ricky Rudd, also Bobby Hillen, Rusty Wallace, the 21 car of Dale Jarrett, Buddy Baker.
500.
Trickle, who is having a cigarette. You know, he has a cigarette lighter in the car. He just reached for it.
Reminds us of the days of David Pearson. He used to do that all the time.
Bad habits are very hard to break.
They sure are.
Driving a race car. So Ricky Rudd also.
Yeah, if I were running NASCAR, I would announce a rule change. First of all, I would announce, despite legality, I don't think you can advertise like cigarettes the way they used to. You know, like you can't put billboards up, say, hey, smoke these, which is bullshit. I would make it so that, yeah, it's now Winston Cup. And every kid who shows up gets a free pack of smokes. And all drivers have to smoke. Like, you're not allowed to drive unless you're smoking. And then, you know, all the cigarette tobacco companies would start spending their cash on cars. And you'd have the Newport car. That'd be great. You'd have Bubba Wallace driving the Newport car. Chris in Buffalo says he used to put Marlboros in a Winston pack to make the Winston people happy. That is sweet. All right. Going down this discussion was just because we're talking about Berlin. I haven't really gotten into a whole lot of the Diddy trial discussion, but I am going to now because it was quite interesting to me. The word-for-word account that took place in the witness for the prosecution in the Diddy trial. This was the guy who worked at the hotel who was the security guard. He earned $10.50 an hour. And Diddy approached him and he said, hey, man, I just beat up Cassie by the elevator. I need that videotape. And he gave him a bag with $100,000 in it. And the guy got him the footage. Now, as it goes, though, that video came out not that long ago to kind of get the ball rolling on all of this unraveling of Diddy's life here. Before that copy of the tape was given to Diddy, somebody shot a video with their phone. So at that point, there's more than the original. That's how this came to light. But the guy on the stand is the guy who was given the $100,000. According to this, it says soon after viciously attacking Cassie, Diddy reached out to the security guard and predicted accurately that his career would be ruined. His image as the affable, successful Puff Daddy destroyed if video of the beating ever became public. This happened in 2016. So Eddie Garcia was 24 at the time. He's 33 now. He testified that Diddy made the comment repeatedly before giving him the brown paper bag stuffed with 100 gur to him in order to buy what he hoped was the only copy of the footage. Prosecutors at the sex trafficking trial have made the footage of Combs kicking, beating, and dragging Cassie at the Intercontinental in L.A. a centerpiece of their federal case against him. They contend it supports the claims of three women, including Cassie, who say Diddy sexually and physically abused them over two decades. Prosecutors also say Combs' persistent efforts to hush up the incident fit into allegations he used threats and his fortune and fame to get what he wanted. After the attack, Garcia said he spoke several times to Combs' chief of staff, Christina Corum, telling her he couldn't show her the recording, but off the record, it's bad. This is years ago. He said during one phone call, she put a very nervous sounding Diddy on the phone who was just saying he had a little too much to drink. So he's making up an excuse from the incident. And that, as Garcia surely knows, quote, Diddy saying, with women, one thing leads to another, And if this got out, it would ruin him. So Diddy's talking to dude who makes $10.50 an hour, saying, yeah, you know, I had a little bit too much of drink. And, you know, with chicks, sometimes with you have a little alcohol, you got to beat them. Garcia added he was talking really fast with a lot of stuttering. In the evening, Garcia said he became nervous and scared when Christina Corum called him on his cell phone, a number that he had never provided to them, and she put Combs on. He stated that I sounded like a good guy, Garcia testified, adding that Combs again said something like this could ruin him. When he told Combs he did not have access to the server to obtain the video footage, Combs said he believed Garcia could make it happen and that he would take care of me, which Garcia said he took to mean financially. And he was right. Garcia said he checked with his boss and was told he would sell it to Combs for 50 G's. So that means that the boss is now in on it. When he told Combs, he said Diddy sounded super excited. He referred to me as Eddie, my angel, Garcia said, adding that Combs told him, I knew you could help. I knew you could do it. So he was sweating it the whole time. But again, this boss is aware now. I mean, maybe he wasn't even aware ahead of time, but this was the only way this dude could get access to the video is by dealing this dude in. Within 2 days of the attack on Cassie, Garcia gave Combs the footage on a storage device for 100 large. So it was like the guy standing there and Combs whips out a bunch of money and puts it into one of those cash counting machines. It counts out $100,000. He stuffs it in a bag and gives it to him. Garcia signed a confidentiality and non-disclosure agreement shown in court that required he pay $1 million if he breached the deal. At the time, he said he was making $10.50 an hour working hotel security. Garcia said he signed a declaration swearing that there was no other copy of the vehicle, of the video. According to him, that's what he knew. He said he signed the papers in an office building with Combs' bodyguard and Christina Corum present. Garcia said he didn't fully read the documents, explaining he was nervous and the goal was to get out of there as soon as possible. After signing, he said Diddy asked him what he was going to do with the money and said, don't make any big purchases. That's like that scene in, what's that fucking movie? Goodfellas. Don't show up with a pink Cadillac or a fur coat. Garcia said he took that to mean he shouldn't do anything that would draw attention. Garcia said he gave the 50 to the boss, 20 to another security officer to shut that guy up. So that's another guy involved. And he put 30 in his pocket, some of it to buy a used car. A few weeks later, Garcia said Diddy called him and asked if anyone had inquired about the video. Garcia said no. Recounting, Combs started the phone call by saying, Happy Easter, Eddie, my angel. God is good. God put you in my way for a reason. Garcia said he asked Combs if the rapper might have future work for him. You know, he could have been at the freak offs, you know. And Combs sounded receptive. But Combs never did respond to his later inquiries, and that's where it dried up. Last year, CNN aired footage of the security video. Another hotel guard has testified that he recorded the footage on his phone so he could show it to his wife. And that's the end of Diddy. Now, Diddy, just on the strength of the beating alone, would get some time, probably, unless if he pled. In a perfect world, Diddy is able to plead, not get jail time for that beating. And then, since it's a lot of he said, she said for the freak-offs and the sex trafficking, he might be able to get out of that. But, you know, he's not going to make any more music or do anything. It's fucking over. What a catastrophe. My God. Maureen says, I hate Diddy. He's a pig. Yeah, right now, I hate Diddy for what he did to that chick and for how he tried to cover up beating that woman. Do I think he trafficked women? Probably. But I cannot hate him yet for it. I need to wait. But he probably did do that. All right. That concludes our first ever update on Diddy. Trump has announced that there is a travel ban and restrictions on 19 countries that will go into effect on Monday. Is it 19? I thought it was 12. Maybe they updated the story. Maybe there's the not. Here you are. Some, but not all. 12 countries appeared on the list of banned countries in Trump's first term. The new ban includes Afghanistan, Myanmar, which I don't know what that is. Is that near India? Chad, the Republic of Congo, Equatorial Guinea, and Eritrea. I have never heard of that in my life. Eritrea, E-R-I-T-R-E-A. Don't know where that is. Haiti, Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Yemen. There will be heightened restrictions on visitors from Burundi, Cuba, Laos, Sierra Leone, Togo, Turkmenistan, and Venezuela. In a video released on social media, Trump tied the new ban to Sunday's terror attack in Boulder, Colorado, saying it underscored the dangers posed by some visitors who overstay visas. Okay, so I think that was the one where the guy had his shirt off and there was a bunch of people that were protesting, and I don't remember what they were protesting. They were either pro-Palestinian or pro-Israeli. I'm thinking they were pro-Israeli. And then this guy who was pro-Palestinian, I think he had an Arabic name, he showed up with like incendiary devices, Molotov cocktails, and was throwing them into the crowd. And I don't think anybody died, but I think some people were badly hurt. And I don't think that that guy's dead. He had a whole bunch of them, but he only threw a few. I think he got the yips or something like that. Yeah, that guy is from Egypt, which is a country that is not on Trump's restricted list. And that guy had overstayed a tourist visa. Now, I know what people are thinking, like, oh, there goes Trump again. There goes Trump. What the fuck? You know, you can expect Bill Burr to do some rant about this. Oh, yeah, this is discrimination. It's fucking crazy. Can you believe it? But this is good. You know, I don't want anybody from these countries coming here. These are countries where, you know, people who want to kill us are from. Trump had said some countries had deficient screening and vetting or have historically refused to take back their own citizens. His findings rely extensively on an annual Homeland Security report of visa overstays of tourists. Business visitors and students who arrive by air and sea signaling out countries with high percentage of remaining after their visas are expired. Trump says we don't want them. Yeah, I can't say anything bad about this. Did you see that one where the Chinese guys, there was, I think, a guy and a girl? I'm getting probably about 1% of this right. Some guy coming in from his country of China, and he gets to Michigan, and they go, hang on, welcome to the U.S., but before we welcome you, let's check your bag. And he had like a pathogen It was like some type of, I think it might have been like a mushroom, but it was the type of mushroom that could lead to, I guess, some type of germ warfare or fucking mass casualty event if it's somehow introduced to our worlds. And he was going to go to the University of Michigan where there was another smart Chinese person there who... they were like working in tandem. And so we're jumping to conclusions here, but some are saying that these two Chinese people were plotting something to introduce some type of germ warfare through the lab at the University of Michigan. Does that make sense? So they sent that fucker back, and then they detained the crazy bitch in Ann Arbor about this. So then right away people are like, oh my God, how could you do this? Dude, this is human rights violations. Like, no, fuck this shit. No. Get him out of here. Yoda World said that guy was researching that specific biotoxin. No way he didn't know what he was carrying. Yeah, that's what I read too. How did he find this out? I'm oftentimes impressed with when they do find shit out like that, but then I'm like, God, it kind of scares me. It makes me think that we're kind of like on a tightrope with no net. David says EZ is finally impressed with Trump. No, hold on. Hold on a second. I have said, first of all, when Trump won, first of all, you got no bitching from me. I said he won fair and square. Then I said, I hope he does well. Now, is he doing well? I can't say that. Have there been things that I've been like, well, I agree with that. Yes, I've said that before. I know you're joking. I will say this. Now, you got to understand, I've been a Republican for a long time, or I had been a Republican for a long time. Did not vote for Trump. But a lot of the things that have happened since Trump took office, I would be a liar if I said, yeah, that's not good. Some of those things have been very good. And frankly, let's be honest. When it comes to just overall shit that Trump has done, it may not be great things. It may not be things that I like, but he's at least done what he said he's going to fucking do. We couldn't even get Biden to figure out how to walk off the stage because of this health cover-up. And that's exactly, his body is riddled with cancer now. He had cancer for the longest time and they didn't even fucking talk about it. He's had dementia for the longest time. And they're like, yeah, he's great. And then when the disaster debate happened, the Democrats then turned on him. They put in Harris. They had no chance. I thought they were going to win, but come on now. It was remarkable. And by the way, typically you have your candidates lined up by 2 years prior to the election. And right now, we are nearly halfway through year one of Trump, which means one quarter of the four quarters until election cycle is really going. Like after the midterm is when people are, you know, all right, who's going to be running? So you better get your fucking shit together. Molly says, I wish I could move out of the United States. Look, if anybody were to consider that, like let's say you had a lot of money. You actually could move out of the United States. I think the first thing you would do is research other places. Okay? Let's say you could wave a magic wand and take your whole family with you. That's the only way that I think that would work for me. You got to understand what's going on. There's only a handful of places in the world that I think are comparable. And I don't know what they are, but I'm guessing there's a few. Maybe like France, Spain, the UK, Canada? I don't know. I would say something with a nice climate, like Honduras. Honduras is beautiful. Cole says there's none. This is the best it gets.
Plan on flying? It's time to upgrade to a real ID. Because in order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID, or you'll need another acceptable form of identification. So don't wait. Find out how to get your real ID at tsa.gov/real ID. That's tsa.gov/real ID. Or visit your local DMV. And then you'll be cleared for takeoff.
I would tend to agree with that. All right. I want you to hold that thought right there. Your old pal EZ needs to go tinkle. And I will join you back here in just a moment. DJ paid for. I sent him the last payment. That's in the books. The cake, I thought I owed like an extra $6.50 for the cake, but it was only $2.95. I don't know why I thought the cake was so much, but I think the cake is like $700 total. But that's when you expect to pay $6.95 and then you only have to pay $2.95 or $6.50 to $2.95. You're set up for the big amount, and then you get the smaller amount. That's outstanding. And that's good because I just had a family member reach out this week. I'm not going to say who, but I just had a family member deal with a financial heartache. I've got this family member that reached out and I don't want to give too many details, but I had to send $1,600 through the pipeline. And then, I think I just got done talking. You don't give family members money, but I had to. I don't want to give a lot of the details as to why. And I've done this before, and it's always been like, I think the only way you can successfully give family members money is if when they say, hey, I'm going to pay you back. You say, no, you're not. This is done. Because the second you like, hey, you got that money, then it gets weird. You just say, no, yeah. Keep it. I don't care. It's no big deal. So this is all converging in one big out, you know, a lot more leaving than coming in. So, and I just had the conversation. I said to Pooh Bear, I go, all right. So I'm doing, I go, how many people are at the rehearsal dinner? She goes, 21. So I did some math and, you know, it's at a place where you can drink beer. And so I go 21. Average cost, okay, $20 for food, $30 for booze per. That's $1,050. I go, fuck. I go, so how is this going to work? And she says, well, I go, can we just get like a one size fits all, like just get a bunch of pizzas? Nope. I go, are they ordering off the menu? She goes, yes, they are. I go, okay. And now she had told me this, but I forgot, of course. She goes, we are paying for the food. If they want their drinks, they get their own drinks. I go, oh, that's where it is. Okay, so now we're looking at, and it's a burger joint practically. $20 per times 21, 420 plus tip. Times 0.20 plus 420, sitting at $500. $504. No biggie. When you have the clout that I have, as you know, that is, money is no object here at the fraud household. You know, this is what it's all about. We live for this. Chris says, giving money to family is okay. No strings attached. Never loan money to family. That's my rule. Agreed. Maureen says the same thing. Whenever you loan money, don't expect to get it back. Nice surprise if you do. Right now, I'm sitting on, I think I'm nearing $100,000 that has been given away in my lifetime to family members. And it's always five here, 10 here, and then everybody forgets that they asked for the money. And then I kind of forget that they asked for the money. And then occasionally they'll say, hey, I'm going to pay you back. And I'm just like, yeah, okay, thanks. Oh well, you only live once. The good news is the fraud bus is leaving. I got a message the other day from Thor Motor Coach, and I'm going to play you this message. These are the losers that made that pile of shit. And listen to the mess. Remember the computer that controls the blind spot detection is faulty. And I'm out of warranty. But I think because of the squeaky wheel, they're still replacing it no charge. The guy that I told you that I yelled at last week, he is mentioned in this. And I think he was like, I don't know why. I mean, I was giving him shit. I was really beating the hell out of that guy. Yet he went to bat for me to get this component free of charge. And I am of the opinion, well, that's the absolute least you could do, frankly. There we go. Why can't I hear this shit?
Hi, Eric. This is Kelly, a Reservoir Motor Coach. Just giving you a call. I had a conversation with General Arvey and Tony, and
that's a guy.
Sounded like your coach was back, having a couple small warranty items fixed on it. And I just wanted to give you an update and let you know that the PA they submitted over to us has been approved. And the part has been ordered. Hopefully, it'll be shipping out here soon. It was a Fender part. But if you have any questions, you're most definitely welcome to give us a call back. And we can kind of go over things with you and try to answer your questions. Hope you have a great day. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah. Question one. Why does your shit suck so bad? Question two. Have you sold anything recently that didn't fall apart? Question three, do you have trouble looking at yourself in the mirror? What a dump. And you know, Thor Motor Coach is the biggest in the U.S. The biggest, hands down. Assholes. All right. The rock band Heart got their instruments stolen, which I thought that the one had cancer. I mean, I think she still does. I don't know which one is which. All I know is that one is super cute and one is super fat. When I say super cute, I mean Ann and Nancy Wilson. Images. Yeah, something happened along the way. I think that the brunette started eating a lot. The blonde has always been the one who's been lean and mean. and the brunette, not so much. I mean, she used to be a lot bigger. She might even, okay, now we're talking. I don't have any recent picks. Ann and Nancy Wilson now. David says, yes, she still has cancer. Which one has, okay, Ann. Ann is the hefty lefty. Okay, so, and then the sister, Nancy, is the guitar player. Ann is the singer. I've always liked Hart. Well, some asshole stole their instruments. They are offering a reward. They were at a venue in New Jersey. The band was set to kick off an evening with Hart tour at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City on Saturday. The gear had been set up there the day prior to the show. Among the items stolen, somebody grabbed a Telecaster guitar and two guitars, a mandolin. One is a 1966 Gibson EM50 mandolin that this dude in the band has played for over 25 years. Nancy said, we're heartbroken. We're asking for their safe return. No questions asked. Their value to us is immeasurable. I know this. Somebody's getting their ass kicked with the roadie crew. I think that it's on the hotel. It's on security. I know it's not Hart's fault. My God. And I don't know the status of her health. If sometimes these artists go and they like play all the way to the bitter end. That's happened. Freddie Mercury. He recorded his final album, then he just croaked. And said that show this in that song, The Show Must Go On, Freddie Mercury could barely even get up the energy to sing it because his body was so riddled with AIDS that, but yet he did it. He pulled it off. Warren Zevon, same thing. Full of cancer, sang his ass off. You could do like a whole weekend on Q100 of doctors who performed up until when they died. Gord Downie from Tragically Hip. Bob says these guitars have already been pawned. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's not that easy. I think if they think that it's been pawned, then they won't, or it's been stolen, then they won't participate in the sale. All right, I've got some clips from baseball that I need to share with you. And this one, I'm just going to tell you what happened, and then we'll play it. But Dodger Stadium, Shohei Ohtani hit the ball a mile, and this little Asian kid went to catch it, and he missed it, and it hit him right in the fucking face. Oh. It was incredible. I've watched this about 100 times. It's like somebody recorded it with their cell phone off the TV, but you... So there it is. He hits it a mile.
Watching it from up here, you have the Union 76 sign.
Okay, he's grounding the bases. And then see this white shirt, black jacket kid? Now, all these people here are Asians because... all the Asians in L.A. go to the games. Look at the ball is about to crush this kid's face. You just saw it. Okay. And then whammo! Whammo! Repeatedly. Oh, my God. Oh, it's fucking great. How did this happen? This guy had a chance right here. And the kid kind of didn't really put up his hands. Oh, that is outstanding. I bet you wish that you could have seen that. I did that thing again where I wasn't showing you, so I'm going to show it again. I'll do the same thing I just did. There you go. Boom. Boom. Oh. If you're listening to the audio podcast, you have to watch this. And you just hang on to the cursor and toggle back and forth. Wowzers. Can you imagine how much that kid cried after that? Holy cow.
Big sign on top of the scoreboard out there. And I swear, from up here, it looked like he went higher than that.
Jesus. All right. I kind of fucked that up. Then there's this one. Phillies catcher. His name is, doesn't matter his name, but I'm going to say it anyway. JT Realmuto. The pitcher threw the ball 95 miles an hour. The batter swung and barely nicked it, and that changed the trajectory of the ball, and then the ball hit the catcher right in the cock. Oh, my God. Again, I take it back. It bounced. So 95 miles an hour. Here, he hits the ball. And now he's not going to catch it because it's chained. He's changed the trajectory of it. It then, oh no, it did hit direct. It hit direct cock. It went bat, cock, ground. Like this is it. Look at that. Flying through air. It's so fast it looks like a streak. Cock to ground. And then there he goes. His dick is destroyed. He throws his feet in the air. His dick and balls look like scrambled eggs at this point. Wow. Now, I'm guessing he's wearing a cup, but I don't think that that's going to matter. I wonder if it's possible to die of pain from getting hit in the cock. Oh. I wonder, okay, so 94, 95 miles an hour, you know that very little of the velocity came off of it after he nicked it. But holy shit. Oh.
Goodness.
This guy. Goodness. That is, that's horrible. I like with my friends in hockey who play or used to play in the scorer's table, I go, it doesn't matter. If you get hit by a puck and you're wearing a cup, it hurts so bad. It probably hurts just as bad, but you're just not going to have as much destruction, like permanent destruction from a puck crushing your balls. Chris K says, I just sent you another sports clip. Was that via email? What is the platform? Because I don't see it in the email. Unless if I'm missing it or if it's on a different platform. All right. Thank you to these great sponsors that help make the world go round for easy. Dumpaholics, if you need a dumpster, reach out to them at 616-375-9962. 616-375-9962. Get a dumpster of different sizes. So you got different price points. If you go to DumpaHaulics, dumpaholics.com, you can see for yourself. Thank you to our friends at Dumpaholics. Chris says he sent it via text. All right, I'm going to have to save that. Disfamed says, hey guys, I haven't been tuned in as much, but how's everyone doing? I don't know if anybody knows who that is. I know that. I don't recognize that name. Kuiper Tree Care, 616-828-8225, 616-828-8225. If you're in West Michigan and you need somebody to cut down a tree, grind a stump, clean up some storm debris, prune a tree, or assess the risk of a tree, whether or not it's healthy, call Kuiper Tree Care. They have three certified arborists who can help you, 616-828-8225. That's 616-828-8225 for Kuiper Tree Care. Chris says, yeah, this is a clip you need to see, EZ. Dirt gets into the catcher's eye from a pitch. Let me finish this up here. Frank Fuss, My Policy Shop Insurance. You can reach out to Frank at buyinsurancehere.com if you need help figuring Obamacare. That's buyinsurancehere.com. All right, here's that clip that Chris sent.
Full take.
Ooh. Hang on.
Something's going on with Cox's eye.
Something's going on with Cox's eye.
Reacted immediately. Maybe some dirt coming off the ball.
She looks powerful. That is a tall chick.
Ooh.
Oh, look at all that dirt.
Wow. Right into her eyes. So many pieces of it, too.
Look at that shot.
Wait a minute.
It went from her cleat in the ball.
Okay. So somehow there was a chunk of dirt that was in the air. The ball hit the dirt, and the dirt exploded.
Wait a minute.
It went from her cleat, and the ball hit it off of her cleat.
Are you kidding me?
That's like Randy Johnson hitting a bird.
Thought it was off of the ball, and I was thinking, she would have felt that, but that dirt came off of her cleat and then exploded in the middle of the pitch.
That's ridiculous.
Full take.
Hang on.
I really like that, this game, like the actual gameplay. I think that women's softball is superior in terms of entertainment value than women's basketball. Women's basketball is not even close to being as entertaining as women's softball. The game is all compact on that tiny diamond. And you just see a lot of cool shit in women's softball. I prefer that over women's basketball anytime. In fact, I think women's basketball fucking blows. There's been I take that back. There are some times it's okay. I don't know how to feel about it. I guess it just depends on what mood I'm in. And some of those chicks are super cute. A little young for me, though. Alan says it's the most interesting thing that's happened in girls softball ever. I disagree. All right. Let's go with the asshole of the day. I think I know who it is. It has been free beer the last 3 days. But newsflash, it's not going to be free beer today. I think I need to look no further than myself for the poor planning of myself here when it comes to rehearsal dinner and whatnot and announcing that suddenly that there is no Big Fraud Thursday. I have to take the L on that one. Oh, my God. And I apologize. I've been going about an hour 45 every day. And I usually like to do two, but I am absolutely just full on out of material. Some days it ebbs and flows. But as a reminder, if you ever see an interesting story that you want to share, please send it my way, eric@ericzaneshow.com. Once I'm out, I'm out, you know. I don't like to just stammer around and eat up time doing nothing. So there you go. I am calling it a day. And I'll be back with a free show on Monday. I still have the Patreon bonus podcast to get to today, and I will do that. But thank you for your time today. Folks, have a great one. Talk to you on Monday right here.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.